I've been working on a piece that speaks of sex and desperation. I've been screwing on the tracks of abandoned train stations.
Hello, and welcome to the Carolyn and Joe Show.
Hey.
We're here. We're back. Danny.
I'm in the studio,
hello,
too.
And then there's Joe, too.
Hey.
And
that's all I usually say.
What about these guys?
And Carolyn has two special guests in the studio.
Can you hear it? Can you hear him?
Sounds like curtain chimes.
Describe to the audience at home who are your guests here.
That is Hippo. And then this is Morgan.
Tell us about Hippo and Morgan. Please.
Well, first of all, I want to get your all's reaction. What?
What am I y'all's?
What do you reaction? What do you think of them?
Well, you got to tell people who exactly these people are.
One is obviously a hippo.
You know, for people who can't tell exactly what they're looking at here.
This is a hippo. Is a hippo, and Morgan is a dog.
Morgan kind of reminds me of Grummet.
Yes, he actually does kind of look like Grummet.
Just not bug-eyed.
And where do these two guests come from? These two special guests of the evening. Not that Danny's not a special guest.
They're our special guests, and they have never left my room in, like, forever. they're my childhood friends.
These two very,
my
like...
My first ever friends that I received Hippo at my baby shower.
Story goes great with the music playing in the background.
Yes. I received Hippo at my baby shower from my mom's parents' next-door neighbor. And Morgan, I got on my first Christmas.
Now, what's really...
When I was not even 1 year old.
What's really cool about these two characters is that, like, you know how, like, these days there's all these stuffed animals that are, like, trying to look all vintage?
Yeah.
You know, and you're paying, like, extra money for the vintage. These stuffed animals
are
legitimate vintage.
Yeah, legitimately real vintage looking with, like,
they are.
Pieces of them falling off. And
look at the tag.
And, like, yeah, the tag is coming off.
It's all frayed.
That's real, man. This is real. This is exactly like...
You want to know what it is? It's because they were loved so much.
That's right, love.
Yes. Because, and it's hard to really describe, so maybe we'll put up a photo of them on the radio show, but Morgan has a tag that says Le Mutt. So I think he's French, or at least part French.
Francis.
He's at least half French.
Yes.
Or he's French, but he's Americanized,
yeah,
just like Lucy Liu.
He cannot speak for himself, but his nose is falling off.
It looks like a milk dud. It does look like a milk dud.
And...
Don't tell me you don't see it.
I see it.
Don't deny it.
I like this one part of his nose is kind of like... scratched off.
Dude, I'm gonna tell you that if you don't sew that thing's gonna fall off on its own, and it's gonna be the worst day of your life.
You know, like I had a
it's been staying on pretty well here. It's glued.
I have a stuffed animal. I have actually two stuffed animals of the, you know, the American tails, like Fievel.
Yeah.
Now they both used to have a nose.
But screw Don Bluth, man. Those were supposed to be cartoons, yet he make you bawl your eyes out as kids.
Yeah, but see. Both of those stuffed animals used to have noses, but my dog, like, I was surprised for some reason, felt the need to have to chew them off, and I didn't know that. And now they don't. They both don't have noses anymore.
Man, dogs have tunnel vision. When they realize something has to be done, it's gonna get done.
Just like now, they don't have noses.
My
man.
Roommate and I, we raised this dog, and
well, you raised.
Do you think Morgan is a dog?
Yeah.
I think he is.
Well, you're right.
Le Mutt must be a dog.
That's true. I never thought about it that way. But, you know, I did sew on, like, if you see he has a hole in his, you can put your finger in it. He has a hole in his neck.
Now, have you?
I did sew it a little bit. He's been in the washing machine one time by accident. He was caught with, like, the bedding. He went in the washing machine.
Oh, and so inadvertently, like, he went in with it.
Yeah,
he had a little adventure.
Yeah, he had an adventure, and I want to do a story about that too.
All right.
And like that was purely by accident. But then he, like, I guess got clean. Nothing really happened to him.
And now you put him in a fetal position on the computer.
He's not. I'm trying not to. There you go.
And then, that's not really the best position either. If
you think about it. You should go back to the fetal position.
It's just any other dog just wants to lick his balls, and that's exactly what you just like. I want to sit here.
That's
what I love about dogs. They don't care who's watching. They'll be like, you know what? I think it's that time.
I just gotta go at it, you know.
And so Morgan is mostly like a tan color with a brown nose, and then he has black eyes with a rim of yellow around it, which sometimes looks scary, but he's actually very nice. And then Hippo is a real hippo, and he is...
Real hippo.
He is yellow with pink accents. By pink accents, I mean his nostrils are pink, the inside of his ears pink, and his feet...
Hooves.
His hooves and his hands are pink. And he's well loved too, but he doesn't really he has actually a hole in the same place of his neck as Morgan does.
Are you sure there's not some sort of like stuffed animal vampire in your group that's hiding?
Not that I know.
Oh
of.
Man, do you guys remember those books as kids, Bunnicula?
No.
You don't remember Bunnicula?
I don't, man. I'm sorry.
Oh my god, those are awesome books.
What is that? Describe that.
It was a bunny rabbit that was like, it was like a vampire.
Bunnicula?
Yeah, Bunnicula.
I don't remember that.
It was a play on Bunny and Dracula, and it wreaked havoc on vegetables.
When did that come out?
1989, around then.
I don't remember that.
Basically, you know, back when this was that transitional phase when they were trying to get kids to read more like fictional novels.
Was this a Caldecott winner? I hope
so. It could have been.
I hope so. I
remember seeing the little badge on the book covers, but it every now
or
and
it could have been a Newbery Award book.
But they had illustrations in them.
I think Caldecott is the one for illustrations.
All right.
I don't know. The illustrations were pretty epic, but basically, okay. It's like this family got this bunny rabbit, and all of a sudden, like, the vegetables at night would come out pale and white.
Wait, for some reason this sounds very familiar.
Yeah, it's like the bunny rabbit would suck the juices out of all the vegetables.
Was there a moral out of this story?
I don't remember, but it had, like, talking animals. Like, the dog and cat were like, we're gonna find out what's doing it. And then they found out that it was the rabbit, and the rabbit, despite the fact that the dog and cat could communicate with each other, for some reason, the rabbit was more or less a normal rabbit, except for the fact that it terrorized produce.
You know, I really think that I've seen something like that. I think I've been to a store, like a specialty store, and they had like stuffed like puppet rabbits, but they have like vampire like teeth in it. That might be the same thing.
Bunnicula, man. I'm telling you.
the reason why I brought Morgan and Hippo today was like I was leaving just like normal. And keep in mind, they have never really been many places, and I didn't even take them to college with me, because I felt like, you know...
At home.
Yeah, they're safe
at
home.
Have some
I don't want anyone to steal
storming
them.
Storming in your dorm
to steal them for an art project. Steal them for an art project, or, you know, you never know where they're
going
to go.
Going all Rules of Attraction on it.
So I just kind of, you know, I was like, better safe at home, guys. They never really got to experience much of the world, but then today, it was like the weirdest thing ever. Like, I turned back and look at them. They were like, we want to come with you.
They're looking at you.
Yeah, it was like the weirdest thing. It was like really strange. Like, super strange.
You know, some people think it's lame, but I think it's... I always thought it was kind of cool when you have, like, either a group of friends or one person who's very well-traveled who takes one thing. Like, you know, ever see that like, Verizon or AT&T commercial where that little girl leaves her teddy bear in dad's briefcase? And then dad finds in the briefcase, and he's taking all these pictures of it in, like, New York City or London or something and sending it back to the daughter. And the daughter's all like, oh my god, that's the coolest thing. I was like, you know what? That is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's like, daddy's there.
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, the bear's little proof.
I kind of felt, like, semi-infantile for bringing them here, but then I was like, they wanted to come. You know, like,
right.
Like even when we were, like, coming out at the dark at night, we're like, oh, we're leaving. We're leaving the house. And then they're all like, ha ha ha. Like, when I was, like, driving with them over here, they were, like, all, like, partying, dude.
Now they look like they're looking at me.
That's what I mean. Like, it was the weirdest thing. Like, you know, like I said, they've been on my bed for so many years, and then today, like, they were just, like, looking at me, and then, like, they were kind of, like, a little bit angry. They were like, we want to come with you.
We're coming,
strange.
Damn it.
Yeah, they were like, what? You're just going to leave us here? And then I was like, come on, guys. So do you think they're looking at you?
I mean, I know the hippo is looking directly at me at this very moment. Sort of like he's like leaning his eyes and his like crooked mouth in my direction.
Dog's trying to lick his balls.
It's funny. That's like the first thing when you sit him down. That's where he goes. He
no,
puts
but
his
that's
head down.
Really that's his position.
Well, of course it's his position.
Of course it's his position. Like I said, the dog doesn't. Dog does not need an excuse to lick his balls.
Morgan,
don't make fun of you like that.
It's the normal habit of dogs.
Maybe that's his normal position.
I would expect so from a dog.
Dogs.
My
dogs
roommate doesn't
funny,
like it
man.
When her dog starts licking his balls, but I'm like, let him lick his balls. That's what dogs do.
There was one time when I was like in high school and like I was hanging out with I think my friend, like it was like in his backyard and we're watching his dog, right? And this dog in front of us takes a crap, and then afterwards just turns around and eats it. And I look at him, I'm like,
that's what dogs do.
I just look
but
at
like
him.
But like right
what?
After it?
Yeah. It's
fresh.
I think at the time, my conclusion was, is that like he turned around and like he forgot what he did. And he's like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's free food. But then what's even worse is that he like the dog like came over towards us and was trying to like give us a kiss or something. I was like,
lick
I was
your
like,
hand
oh,
like,
all right,
no, you
did
know,
he,
off of
so
me.
Did he eat like all of it or just like a bite?
Took like a fucking huge ass bite out of it.
But did he eat
your
all of it?
Tongues can pick up a lot.
I was just what, like, oh.
What type of breed of dog was this?
It's one of those big, weird looking dogs. I don't know.
Was it like one of those dumb dogs?
That's your turn. You know that dog ate it.
There's a lot of some dogs are actually like pretty smart and they wouldn't probably do that. But you know what?
This is
I'm not trying to rat out my dog, but you know he's been gone for a while, so I think it's worth telling this story. Maybe he'll appreciate it in heaven. But this is one thing that I thought was pretty interesting. What he did, like it was commendable, but at the same time, kind of like gross. Well, like one time, like. Everyone was out of the house, and I think I was the only one with him. And he wasn't feeling good. Like, you know, he was just, like, not feeling good at all. He must have ate something wrong.
So as soon as you guys left, he was had an upset stomach or something?
He had an upset stomach, so I saw him, like, go over to a corner and, like, try to hack up something. And he was like, whoa. And then, like, I could tell he was trying to throw up. And it was, but it was, like, super strange, just because, like, his position he was in, he was, like, trying to get it desperately out of his stomach. And he was, like, kind of shaking and, like just doing weird things that he wouldn't normally do. So he ended up throwing up. And then, like, I was, like, gonna clean it, you know? I was like, hey, Fritz, I gotta clean this, you know? And, like, but then he would kind of, like, get mad. And then, like, I went to go get some napkins and stuff. And he actually, like, when I came back, I saw him eating it. And I think the reason why he was eating it, like,
so
honestly, is because I didn't have to clean it. And he was really, like, sad that he actually, like, made a mess. Like, it was, like, commendable. Like, it was, like... But then I was, like, Fritz, don't eat your... Don't do that. You know, I was, like, no, I'll clean it. And then he was, like, still trying to eat it.
Worst, no, it's mine.
The worst part is when you look at them after they do something like that, they're, like, licking their lips. Like, you see the tongue come out.
Like, that was good.
Lips, so like...
And then I was, like, dude... But then I was, like... No, but then, like, the sad thing is, I was, like, Fritz, you must have, like, not felt good. Like, you could look at him and be, like, that something didn't agree with him. You know, like, something didn't settle right in his stomach, you know? And then, like, and then I'm like, then you eat it afterwards? It's like, just doesn't make any sense. But it was like, he felt so bad. And, like, the few times that we, like, he never really peed in the house or anything. Like, he was pretty good with that. And the few times that he did was during, like, big blizzards and stuff where we couldn't, like, take him out regularly.
Yeah.
And we'd have to, like, do a pathway for him in the snow because he was pretty tiny. Even though he thought he was all big and bad, but he was, like, really tiny. And, like, he was only probably, like, 18, 20 pounds. And then we'd do, like, little pathways for him in the snow. But, you know, occasionally he did do something in the house when it was, like... I remember one year there was, like, a big blizzard. It was, like, 96 or 97 or something.
95.
Or 95, okay.
I remember that.
Yeah, and that actually was, like... He was only a year old, okay, back then. And, yeah, like, there's a big blizzard, and he was doing it in the house. And you could tell he actually felt bad. Like...
Sometimes you gotta go. You can't.
But he did not. But he did.
Dogs feel shame.
No, but he did not eat his poop though. He would. What he would do is like, kind of like hover over it and like pretend like it wasn't there. Like he would go. He'd kind of like be behind it, like as if like I didn't do this, Mom, Dad, Carolyn. You know, like he'd like kind of like stand over it, like as if he didn't do it. But then I'm like blatant. Then I'm like. You just pooped on the floor.
Well, I can smell it.
But he felt like
that's
super,
your turn.
But at least he didn't eat that. At least he didn't eat that. But at least, but I thought it was always weird that one incident where he threw up and he ate it.
Dogs, yeah, they feel remorse. You can tell when a dog when a dog does something bad they know they shouldn't have done, you see it on their face. They shrink their heads and they feel shameful.
That's what I like about dogs.
Dogs are awesome.
Yeah. I love dogs.
You all look at me like I'm a dog story or something
know,
like
you
that.
Were about
no,
to talk.
No.
I was about to talk.
Dog shit girls.
There has been like the most, I mean, like the most well-trained dog that I have ever seen, like in my whole entire life, has been my friend Brian's dog Isabel. Like unbelievable, man. Because at this place where Brian's staying right now, he has three dogs. One of them is his dog, and then there's two of like the other people he's living with, their dog, and it's like incredible, like the different range of like training that the other two dogs are compared to like Isabel. Like those other dogs are like retarded.
I hate to be mean about it. That one dog that, you know, that I don't remember his name, but
and that's a different dog though.
Yeah, but that dog was dumb.
No, see, that's the thing. That's the
like,
thing.
I was like, are you dumb?
That's the thing is wherever Brian stays, Isabel is like so well trained, you know, and like follows all the orders. But then there's always a like a dumb fuck of a dog around there, like beyond because there's
like
someone
I honestly
you can compare
thought
to.
that dog had like a mental problem. Like, I was like, is this a retarded dog?
But like it's funny because it's always like the same type of dog that Brian always like his other like the other dog is always like it's like a brown whatever
a big brown dog,
big brown dumbass of a dog. That's just
chocolate
like
lab.
That would just look at you and be like, I don't think it was a chocolate lab.
It was just like a brown
dumbass.
Dumbass.
A brown dumbass. that's the classification of dogs.
Because usually labs are pretty, you know. Good.
No, black labs I know are
they can be a
dumb
little
as
bit,
bricks.
But they can be a little bit rambunctious.
But the thing with black labs, they're like the jocks of dogs.
Yeah.
Because those things are phenomenal athlete dog. Like if you've ever seen clips online of like the great outdoor games. I remember I was at the beach and it was raining, so we were just flipping channels and we ended up on the great outdoor games because there were dogs running as fast as they can off this dock into the water, into this lake. And it was a distance contest. We're like, dude, look at those dogs fly. The next thing we know, we're sitting on this channel for like 15 minutes and we see this black lab and then dog just goes flying into the water. And then the announcer is from this Canadian guy. He's like, oh, look at that. I believe that's a new world record. And they're like, they're like verifying it. They're like, oh, as a matter of fact, it is. And I'm like, dude, we just witnessed history. This black lab went flying.
That's awesome.
I remember that like right after, like in 4th of July weekend, we went to Charlestown. And after all the horses were done for like, you know, after the races were done, we watched like one dog race.
It was a greyhound race.
Yeah, it was a greyhound race. But I think it's so funny, like they're all just trying to chase like the robot rabbit.
The rabbit on the rail.
But it's like funny, like after the race is done, they let the rabbit like down and all the dogs just like swarm it. And like in all truth, they could care less about winning the race. They just wanted to get the
They probably like, don't even know it's a race.
I was like, now they're all just gonna murder the rabbit, the fake rabbit. And then they realize, like, what the fuck? This is fake.
This isn't real.
There is something about animal
sports. I'm never going to get caught like that ever again. And they do it again.
The next day they do it again.
I kind of like animal sports. Like, I know that they treat the greyhounds poorly and, like, some of the racehorses. But there is something about animal sports that I kind of adore. Like, even when they have those dog races. I remember on, like, one of those animal channels, they had, like, dog races. Where they had, like, different obstacle course for them. And they had to go through a tunnel and, like, go weave between a couple poles.
Imagine being a dog and you're, like, having to go through, like, you know, like, for training.
Some of them
and stuff.
Are, like, hardcore trained.
Yeah, but that's, like, if you think about it, it's, like...
Like, as if they're a U.S. gymnast.
I'm gonna go through a tunnel. I'm going to go in between things. Like, what the hell?
But some of the
then
owners,
I get a treat.
The owners even take it super seriously. Like, that's their full time.
You know, that's
like,
the funny
thing.
At the very end, you see them put it, somebody, like, the owner, like, have a half of a milk bone or something. They give it to the dog, and then all of a sudden, it was worth it.
Yeah. So easy to please.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless they want blood. Just like in the Sandlot.
You should watch The Good Family then. There's a dog it's a vegan dog that just wants meat.
Yes, dude.
So it's always getting meat behind the owner's backs.
That's, I remember one time, one story I have about my dog is that, like, he stole a steak from us. We were cooking, like, on the deck. Like, it was me, my brother, and I were cooking steaks on the deck. And he was blatantly, like, just eyeing us the whole time. Like, without
a
doubt.
Was it
like,
a cooked steak or an uncooked steak?
You know, we were, I mean, it was going to be cooked. I think he was waiting for us to cook it. But, you know, they want something when they're staring at you. and then they don't move, but they're just the drool comes down.
So
as soon as the first steak comes down, and we sort of turn away, jumps up and just gets it. It was a pretty big steak too. Gone in under a minute.
The thing is, they wolf it down.
Yeah,
it's like they know it's stolen, so they gotta put it away quickly. Yeah. So it's like, man, if you're gonna like get a steak, it's
like there's
a
bone in there.
We as humans, we like to savor our steaks, but this dog's like, I stole it and I gotta eat it now.
But how the hell do you eat that steak so like fast?
I heard that you're not supposed to give dogs actually things with bones because they can choke.
Exactly.
Well, that's why we didn't give it to them.
The funny thing is, you can give them raw, like stuff like chicken, and the biology of a dog, salmonella and stuff won't hurt them. Like my roommate's a vet and works for a veterinary clinic, so she knows all this, or she tells me all this stuff. So like, when dogs are puppies, they're like, you want to give them a treat? Give them frozen chicken wings. And the first question I asked, I was like, what about salmonella? And they're like, dogs can't get salmonella.
Only humans.
And then they're like, well, what about the bones? It's like, see, that's the thing. They're raw chickens, so the bones aren't, they haven't lost their integrity. They're not going to splinter. They'll shatter more likely than splinter into sharp shards that would mess up their gums and their throats or whatnot. So it's like, they'll eat it all. They'll eat it whole and love it. Every bit of it.
See, my dog, we never gave him treats like that at all. Like, we hardly ever gave him human food. Like, he was strictly on a science diet. Like, that was the brand of food that he ate.
Science diet?
Yeah. Like, they specifically told us.
Made him crushed beakers.
But then it's like, he did not live that long. He only lived for 6 years, which, like, then makes us feel bad, because then sometimes I'll see people that own dogs, and they'll just give them whatever they want, and the dog gets all these treats, and,
my
like,
roommate's
blah, blah, blah.
Dog is 17.
See, and then, but then, like, here we, like, raised him, like, as properly, you know, and, like, how they told us to, and then, you know, he had cancer, but I think it was a biological thing, but genetic, I guess, thing. But it was like, you know, we did occasionally things that he did like was bread, like little pieces of bread, like nothing really great, you know. It was just like, here's one little, like, half a human bite of bread,
like something that you'd feel like feed like a bird,
like a, yeah. And then, like, but he seemed to enjoy that. And then also he loved fortune cookies, so whenever we had Chinese like takeout, we'd give him like half a fortune cookie. Like, he loved it. And then like near the end, they told us to give him, like, you know, I guess they're trying to give him, I don't know exactly what they're trying to give him, but he was, like, missing potassium, so they told us to give him some bananas during the last year of his life. So he liked eating that, and then he also liked eating, they also, near the end, they told us to give him rice with little bits of chicken in it, and he'd like that. The human food that he did have, he really enjoyed.
Of course they like it.
Have you guys ever, like, experienced, like, a dog or something that you've been scared of? Because I remember there was one time I was, like, I was delivering, like, the Connection newspaper, and I'd go down the street, and all of a sudden, right when I was about to, you know, deliver the paper to their front door, I saw, like, a dog coming my way, and, like, you know, it's like this stray dog, but not a stray dog, but you can tell this dog escaped because this big-ass chain is still around, is, like, connected to him, and is, like, following him, like, 10 feet down, and I was like, this sort of sucks, man, because then the first thing, you know, I don't like touching, like, stray animals anywhere. Or any stray anything, you know what I mean? So I'm sort of like, all right, should I move forward? But then it tries to block me out, you know what I mean? Like, it steps in and starts, like, growling. I'm like, man, I don't want to deal with this. So I didn't deliver the paper.
Do you think that they were like, I didn't get my connection this week?
Oh, it's only the connection. I'll live.
Do you know all of us have a connection to the connection?
I really don't like just random dogs, like, roaming around. Dude,
where I grew up in Harrisonburg, the people that live right behind us, or we lived in a cul-de-sac, and everyone had pretty big yards, so technically they were my neighbor, but it was on the curve, so our garage faced the back of their house, and they had this big black dog, one of those long-haired ones. I don't know the breed, but it was big.
Like a bear.
Not like a bear. Long.
That bear dog breed.
That bear dog
they
breed.
They breed the bear and the dog together.
Well, there's a dog in my neighborhood. I don't know if he's still around, because I don't really walk by that house anymore. But, like, we always called it the bear. Because it, like, it didn't actually look like a bear. But it was, like, it is probably the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. And it would be in the fenced in, and it would be all slow, just walking around back and forth by the fence. Like, he wasn't aggressive or anything, but just, like, a slow, big, big dog.
Do you guys ever enjoy those Look Who's Talking movies?
I never actually
like that's like
them.
The last thing that like before Pulp Fiction that John Travolta was famous for.
Talking dog. Didn't they? Look Who's Talking Now.
One was Bruce Willis and one was Roseanne or something like that?
Look Who's Talking To.
Yeah.
The daughter was Roseanne.
Did you enjoy those movies?
Actually, I did. They were funny to me.
It wasn't because like the third one or some one of those was like they were trying like John Travolta like flew planes and like had to get their dog one to one way for Christmas or something like that.
And, like, I vaguely remember.
We gotta make it back.
Gotta make it for Christmas.
Man, wasn't really a huge fan of like those.
Man,
dog
back
movies
then I thought Christy Alley was hot.
I mean, has potential.
Man, she grew up. Or she got older.
Christy Alley.
Oh.
Yeah, oh man, she got fat fast.
Yeah, she did.
How do we know she really got fat fast though? Because I didn't really see her for a long time.
No, because I remember she did a really really lame like late night or primetime sitcom not really a sitcom because it had nothing to do with family. It was more like. I think it was on after like Spin City and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was like primetime television. And it was trying to make a show about what was it? It was called like Veronica's Closet.
Veronica's Closet. I remember that show.
Yeah, yeah, that was still a time when she was still somewhat attractive. But that was a good portion of time after Look Who's Talking franchise movies.
That's back when people liked Rosie O'Donnell too.
Yeah. And then she did that stupid movie Exit to Eden. And people were like, ew.
Don't ever do that again,
Rosie.
Is
that the one where she was, like, retarded?
What?
She did another movie where she was, like, a retarded
girl. I remember the one where she was retarded.
What
I just remember. I don't remember it, but I just remember Howard Stern making fun of it.
Yeah, I think that's what I remember, too.
Rosie O'Donnell playing a retarded person?
Yeah, like, she really was. Like, I remember Howard...
Yeah, mentally incapable
person. I remember Howard was playing clips of it, and she was, like... really retarded. Like, and she'd talk about, like, being on a school bus or something. She's like, I'm on school bus. I'm like...
I think she was really trying hard to get it.
Like she was
award.
Like really
like
trying.
Simple Jack?
She was trying to actually be retarded.
She was trying to be like Simple Jack. She tried to go full retard.
She was going full retard. Like if I was a parent of a retarded kid, I would be offended.
Yeah.
Like it's to me, it didn't show like
why
positivity.
Why don't they just get Corky? Yeah. Corky's still alive.
What do you guys feel about that? Like just like people trying to be trying to earn that Oscar by being retarded or some sort of mental
thing.
Yeah,
it's like, really, don't
like
want to
play
Gooding
that. Cuba Gooding Jr. did radio. I was like, what
was he retarded in radio? I never saw that.
I would
he
not
was slow.
Want to play a
he wasn't,
retarded.
I don't think he was retarded.
Let's go through the list of actors who played retarded people.
Let's go through a list of actors who have degraded themselves to try to get an Academy Award. Like, made themselves ugly.
Like
Charlize Theron.
Wait, when was she ugly?
Monster.
But she
was she.
But I think that
oh,
that
she
was
fucking
like,
hideous. In
but
Monster.
That was I never saw the full movie, so I can't say.
See,
but
I saw
I
the
feel
full
like,
movie.
I feel like it was acceptable because that was the character she was.
But was she making? Was she making fun of white trash? Not making fun of, but
she was portraying white trash.
She's portraying white trash. Where
she
people
did
white,
it very well.
Where white trash like being like, listen, man, they're making us look bad. You can't really do that.
Yeah, you can't really do that. But
Christina Ricci was there too.
Yeah, she looked bad too.
But she didn't go. She didn't get like an Oscar nod for that.
No.
She was a supporting
and
character.
And then, what's her face? Nicole Kidman in the
Hours?
The Hours?
With the nose?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was just a fake nose.
Yeah, but she looked ugly. I mean, come on. Nicole Kidman.
So basically, if you want to get an Oscar, you got to be
ugly. If you want an Academy Award, ugly yourself up. Other than you got Radio, Cuba Gooding Jr.
But did he win?
I don't even think he got nominated. I don't think the movie
see,
succeeded
that's not worth it if you're not even going to get nominated.
Did Leonardo DiCaprio, did he get nominated for that, What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Johnny
was
Depp.
He Gilbert
I actually
Grape?
Never saw that.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah, he was there. He played the retarded.
Yeah,
he was come on, Gilbert.
Oh, you know, I do remember that.
Don't laugh at me.
You what Simple about... Jack.
You play Simple Jack.
But yeah, I mean, seriously, if you.
Where are these
Robert
teeth?
Downey Jr. has been, like, hardcore, like, always a different character. Like, in The Singing Detective, completely burned. And that movie with Nicole Kidman, the one about
the
Diane Arbus, like yeah, hair. He was like a big furball guy.
Didn't Jeff Daniels get some nod for Mr. Jones because he played like that mentally incapable guy with like schizophrenia or something.
If you think about Jeff, did you say Jeff Bridges?
Jeff Daniels.
Let me try and remember.
Dumb and Dumber. He was.
Oh, and he was in Pleasantville. Harry.
Was he also the dude?
Yeah, he was in Pleasantville.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in Pleasantville?
Yeah, he was the ice cream shop owner guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To see colors.
That guy is actually he's versatile, man.
He is very versatile. Actually, you see him in Dumb and Dumber.
He's good, but then everyone says it's like, oh, the guy from Dumb and Dumber. Exactly. But he.
What are we talking about? Jeff Bridges?
Jeff Daniels.
Oh, Jeff Daniels. I keep forgetting that.
You know the sad thing.
Jeff Daniels was in Speed. Remember, he was his partner. He's in everything, man. Where is he now?
right now.
The saddest thing is the worst part is it's all Saturday Night Live's fault. Saturday Night Live, they've ruined Jeff Daniels. They had that thing because unfortunately he came to Saturday Night Live to promote Dumb and Dumber. And then they were like, they did this fake talk show segment. When they have Jeff Daniels, they're like, we've got this clip from your new movie, Dumb and Dumber, and it's a scene of him crapping. He's sitting on the toilet, because that's when Jim Carrey put the laxatives in his coffee. Yeah. He's just going nuts. He's going to town on the toilet.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we hear it's a satirical comic movie. Let's take a look at this clip. You have his face, he's like, yeah, exactly. And then they're like, Jeff Daniels, he's like, well, come on, let's talk about some of these other movies that I've done. And they're like, and then it just splices back to the clip of him in Dumb and Dumber again. And at this moment, there's a look on his face that makes you think, it's like, I don't think he's acting, because he looks visibly pissed.
Like this was a shoot on him or something like that. Exactly.
And every time he tries to keep talking, you just hear farting and crapping sounds in the background, and he's just looking, come on. Well, I did, you know, and then he names off all these lists of credible movies that he's ever done.
I think I do remember this part.
And I think that's what did it, because I ever remember Jeff Daniels for.
And then that's the last we ever saw.
No, he's
him.
A good actor.
He is
what
a good actor.
What was he in the last 5 years?
Let's look.
IMDb. IMDb. I don't know, though. I mean, honestly, I often get Jeff Daniels and Jeff Bridges mixed up.
It's always because it's Jeff.
No, because the Big Lebowski reminds me of the Dumb and Dumber guy too, the dude.
Yeah,
he. I don't know. It's kind of rugged.
I just always remember. I always remember him for Speed for some reason. There's always something and him blowing up in that house.
All right. Yes. Well, he's in a movie in 2010 called Hal, playing Professor David Kirk.
Okay.
DVD.
He's in the movie Paper Man, Away We Go, State of Play.
He was in the Lookout with Joseph, Mr. Brick.
I mean, he's been in the movies that I honestly... Oh, he was in Good Night and Good Luck.
So
because of Winn-Dixie.
He kind of fell back into a supporting role for the last few years then.
He's always been a supporting role.
He was in Gods and Generals, The Hours.
Gods and Generals. You know what? Jeff Daniels really did a lot of war movies.
That's true.
Civil War era. He was
in 101 Dalmatians. Wasn't he like one of those robbers? Wasn't he one of the robbers in that? Where that stole the...
Yeah, but who else was in 101 Dalmatians? Who was the star of that movie?
Glenn Close?
Glenn Close.
God. I don't get it with Glenn Close. Everyone was like, oh, she was so hot in Fatal Attraction. I was like...
Was she? No, she wasn't.
I look at Glenn Close...
Yeah, and he was also in Gettysburg, another war
exactly,
movie.
Exactly, a Civil War era movie. But I look at Glenn Close, I'm like, she was never hot. Yeah. Never.
You know what,
she's a good actress.
I don't care how sexy the scene in Fatal Attraction was. Or
is that why she's such a...
Was considered for the role of Joey Gladstone in Full House.
Dude, I totally see that, though. He kind of reminds me of Joey Gladstone.
Well, who made that better? You know, who?
Mr. Cut It Out.
He's been married to his high school sweetheart since 1979.
Oh.
Oh, I wish I could have that button that does like the... Oh, that bell.
like on Full House?
Yeah.
Or like on Saved by the Bell, whenever they had a kiss on the cheek. Woo!
If I ever have
I thought of that today.
If I ever have like another, a better setup than this, I'll find a way to do
soundboard.
That.
Actually, Jeff Daniels is a very versatile actor.
He's extremely versatile. It's just everyone remembers him from Dumb and Dumber.
No, but when I look at him, like nothing against him, but I see... I don't think that he's going to be a big money draw. You know what I mean?
No, he's
a good supporting draw.
He's a good support guy. Honestly,
he'll support the star.
I honestly thought he would have been a better Riddler than Jim Carrey would have.
But Jim Carrey's money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jim Carrey's a name.
He'll bring in... It's like when the money guys are looking at a movie, they're like, well, this guy's a good actor. Yeah, but this guy will bring in $20 million.
This guy will put butts in the seats.
It's like, well, let's get that dude and put this guy and pay him half the money.
Yeah.
That's like that's the key.
But you know, also, we were talking about weird parts that people take on. Because even
why do you always have Hippo look at me, man?
Even Robert, no, he's just doing that. Even Robert, even Robert Downey Jr. Like,
whoa, you people.
But he, like, you know, he played like a black guy. I mean, like, and actually, I felt that that went over pretty well.
It did because he went all the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He did.
But, like, you know.
And they had a gay black guy. Did you see that movie, Danny?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Just making sure.
It was an awful movie.
Really? You didn't like it? I'm surprised you didn't like it.
You know, the previews were the best parts of the entire movie. After that, I was like, man, it sucks.
I'm actually really surprised you didn't like it.
I thought I would, and then I was like, wait a second, I better not get my hopes too high for this. And then I was like, that was a good idea.
Well, mainly...
I mean, even in that movie, Tom Cruise went opposite of his typical part.
I think, but Tom Cruise... He needs to get back in somehow, man. If he wants to be success,
yeah. At this he did point. That.
Even though there is going to be a Mission Impossible
War
4.
Of the Worlds was like the last probably big money.
He
thing
did
he
that
did.
Valkyrie, the Nazi one.
With
was he in it?
With
he was like the main guy in that.
The director of X Men, I forget his name, the gay guy. I think he's gay.
Ian McKellen.
No, the director.
Oh, director.
Wait, the one that was
is gay though.
I know, but it's funny.
He's a Nazi, so I thought the guy from Apt Pupil.
You mean like the guy from the guy that's like, this is delicious.
No, I doubt he's gay. I think he's just flamboyant.
Oh, okay.
Mike Myers is gay.
Mike Myers is gay?
Has that officially came out? Because I've known that's been in the closet.
Wait, first, who's the director? Who's the director of X Men? Bryan Singer.
Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's gay.
How do we know?
Everyone's gay.
Now we're just gonna remember that episode.
Gonna accuse everyone of being gay.
Remember that episode of The Simpsons where it was like the end of the world or something, and he was like, the news anchor's like, the following people are gay.
And then they're like, Homer, we gotta get in the bomb shelter. He's like, hold on a second.
He's writing it down.
Do you remember also in like, I know we just talked about Almost Famous last week in the radio show, but do you remember in Almost Famous when they're in the plane crash and one of the guys was like, by the way, I'm gay.
And everyone's all silent.
Like they're
the plane stabilizes and he's all like, hey, I was just kidding there.
And no one wants to talk to each other.
See, but why would you want to announce that?
I think that's such a freaking...
At the end of the world.
Yeah, but that's such a great moment, man, of that movie. When
really?
No, that scene when they're about to crash and they're letting all their true feelings out.
Well, remember
see, that guy should have been played by Jeff Daniels.
Remember Mallrats? They're talking...
He probably was.
Remember Mallrats when Banky was talking about, like... the plane crash. He's like, the plane was going down, so I pulled out my dick and started going to town. And one guy looked at me and he realized what he I was doing. And then he pulled out his and started going to town. And before you know it, everyone's going to town. And then the plane stabilizes, shakes, and it's all of a sudden stable again. And then everyone just kind of puts their junk away, and nobody talks about it.
No one's talking about it. See, I think like Mallrats was a great movie, man.
A little too true at times.
But I think that's like one of those movies. That really, it's like, when it first came out, Mallrats, you know, it wasn't what people expected, so they just downed it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, within like, you know, 5-6 years later, people
it's,
are like, wow.
It's like all of Kevin Smith's things. It doesn't succeed at first, but develops a cult following, and people are like, whoa, it was pretty awesome.
But it really is, like, Mallrats really is like that, you know, that entry drug for Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah, because you can't just watch Clerks cold turkey if you didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd hate it. Because I know a lot of people are like, man, fuck Clerks. It sucks. Movies suck.
Fuck Clerks.
I know a lot of people who had to see Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back first, because that was like, all right, and then, you know, that kind of, it introduces you to so many characters at the same time that it...
You know, I really do have, like, a fond affection for Kevin Smith movies, because I remember 9/11, when 9/11 happened and everyone's feeling all down and shit like that, you know, the first thing that I gravitated to was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, like, Kevin Smith movies, like, made me feel good about the world. I remember, you know what I remember specifically is that, like... Like, you came over to my house one day, and I was like, dude, like, I can't really, everything sort of sucks. Why don't we learn how to make a webpage? And then you showed me, like, Dreamweaver. And the stuff that we use is we took stuff from Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back website. And we were putting it in. Like, I was like,
yeah,
man, this feels good.
I was showing you the back coding of, so like,
yeah,
the way that the HTML worked.
And that was one of the things I always gravitate towards with Kevin Smith films is, like, It's not trying to be the greatest movie in the world, but at the end there's always a happy ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or majority of the time.
You know, yeah. I really loved was during that post 9/11 time, it was so glum and whatnot.
Yeah.
I loved the the Raw special they had.
Yeah, exactly.
That was
the first ones to return.
Like Bradshaw went off.
On SmackDown?
He went off and he was all like, we're going to send our troops over there. Turn that goddamn country into a parking lot.
And everyone's all like, yeah!
But you know, it was like, it was one of those, it sounds cliche, but it was a glimmer of hope. People wanted to be entertained. And all those wrestlers, they're like, we want to give them the best damn show possible. And you could see it everywhere. The wrestlers came out and worked their asses off. The crowd was like, we're going to cheer our asses off. And they were, the crowd was hot. And I always said, hot crowd makes it easier to, makes entertaining on TV.
And it's one of those things where, you know, like at that time, people were so looking down upon wrestling.
Yeah.
But they were the first ones to
Vince is a genius. Vince, he's a genius because he realized what people need. And then, like, you know, it dawned on me, or it was a surprise to me because, like Huzzard and myself, we're always looking at Sports Illustrated's website. And then towards November, they always do this thing called Sportsman of the Year. And then all the writers of the entire staff, they always nominate someone. And this one guy nominated Vince McMahon. And they're like, yeah, I know it's not a real sport, but think about what this guy does. He's like, he used to say WrestleMania was the biggest thing every year. He goes, no. He has pretty much publicly declared the Iraq trip is the top priority every year.
Yeah.
And then you think about all the wrestlers on the roster who are like, you're not getting paid. You're doing this as a country service to the country.
Yeah.
And all the wrestlers who are like, you're right, I'm in. And then he all his money, he sends all these guys overseas into horrible areas, and then for the troops, completely for free, for their benefit, puts on a huge show, televised naturally, publicly giving thanks to all those who are serving. And it's like, that is the most important thing. And it's like, he gets it.
Yeah.
In a industry where it's all fake, it's the only one that really hits home.
And that's the thing, is like, I don't even think when people say that wrestling's fake, you know, there was a time where I could admit that it's fake, but now I don't even believe that it's fake in a way.
It's not fake. How is it faker than anything else you see on TV? So why exactly. Does it matter?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I always think that's such like, whenever people are like, oh yeah, but I watch UFC, and I've seen like the Brock Lesnar
fights.
Who cares
about UFC?
And it's when I watch like a UFC anything or MMA anything, they're out for their personal goal. But at least when I see like a show that's being made, it's made to entertain us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's why I always have a big affection for things like that.
There's personal goal, but they realize like, hey, this guy needs me to make his goal. If I do my job to make him look good,
yeah,
it benefits me too.
The success is the entertainment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The thing is, I saw that Brock Lesnar fight.
Let's out-entertain each other. You know what I mean?
I saw that Brock Lesnar fight, and honestly, I really wasn't impressed, and like, I didn't even want to watch halfway through because it was basically Brock Lesnar being like a snake. Did you see Danny?
Yeah.
Like, hover over the guy, like kind of like a spider, like
Brock Lesnar against
getting
Frank Mir too.
Getting like their prey, or like a snake just like sucking prey, you know, like holding them. It was basically like a guy on top of a guy for like a few minutes, and I was like,
this is so gay, Jim.
And I was like, honestly, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't really want to watch it, and I stopped it. Like, I didn't even want to see the ending because I was just like, it's basically a guy
on top of a guy. Ending was awful because Brock does what he always does in UFC. He doesn't, nothing scientific. He's just like, I'm going to punch you over and over and over again until you quit or until the referee stops it.
Like, it was
there's
stupid.
Nothing scientific. That's why I don't like
it. It didn't
UFC
even
anymore.
Entertain me. It didn't even, honestly, it like, I got nothing out of it. I was like, okay, so it's a big guy trapping another guy below him and just hitting his brains.
And that's,
like, it just, it didn't appeal to me and I don't really care for
and
it.
And the post-match promo, man, that's everything that's wrong with him. That guy, he's got some loose screws. He's going to kill someone one day, like, legitimately.
So what happened?
And he wants to.
He exhibited poor winner.
He basically was the perfect heel.
He got right in the guy's face that he beat, and he was like, he's all like, I beat your ass so easily.
It's like, talk your shit now.
Yeah, he's like, get it all out, because you'll never get to talk to me again. You'll never get a shot at me again.
What an idiot.
And then he got on the mic, and he
bro.
Flicked off the crowds.
But the crowd was booing him the whole night anyway. You know
exactly.
What I
mean?
So he was playing.
I heard that he double flicked off everyone.
Oh yeah, he did.
Because Brock knows how to play a heel.
But the thing is,
he
got on the mic and he was all like, "I'm gonna go home and drink a Coors Light, not Bud Light." And Bud Light sponsored the entire thing.
Oh.
And he was all like, "Not Bud Light, because they didn't think I was worth being paid money to watch fight. So I'm gonna go home and drink a Coors Light, and then get on top of my wife, who's Sable, by the way."
Yeah.
And then I was like, damn, talk about
I know, and you know, the funny thing is, talking about the sponsor like that, it's kind of bullshit.
Oh, yeah, he...
Like, that's not company.
Threw Bud Light under the bus, and I was like, dude, that was not smart.
Not smart at all.
I don't care if it'll you don't respect back. Bud for not being an American brew anymore, but...
But you know
they're,
what?
They're still the most powerful beer in America.
It'll come back if you talk about clients like that.
Oh, yeah. Bud Light... Budweiser like, won't ever sponsor him now.
It will come back around.
You know, but it's like, for it to come back around, someone's gonna have to beat his ass.
Oh, yeah. You know who it's gonna be? Bobby Lashley.
Black Lesnar.
I was like, they're gonna, UFC needs to work this.
But have you seen Bobby Lashley fight though?
He's definitely not as scientific as Lesnar, but Lashley's got that raw power.
It'll be a good fight, but there's like this. There's still like
You know the funny thing is,
I mean, not Black. I mean, what? Not,
Black or Brock?
What's his name? Bobby Lashley.
Lashley.
Oh, Bobby.
But the thing is, though, at this point, Brock Lesnar is still more entertaining than Black Lesnar.
Because
you know?
Lashley, he's too nice. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, you know, Bobby Lashley knows. I read an interview of him saying, like, I know what you guys are saying. You know how he talks?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I need you to call me Black Lesnar in the back and stuff like that. I want to face him. But, you know,
You know the problem is with
he's not
going to
face him by being in
TNA.
He's
too nice. He's too nice.
Yeah.
Lesnar, you know there's something wrong with that guy in the head. And that works to his advantage.
The dude lives by himself out in the middle of nowhere in Minnesota.
Wait, what about Sable?
I mean, you know what I mean. But like that, like in seclusion.
Yeah, he's a loose cannon. He legitimately hurt someone accidentally to death.
Dude likes to kill animals. Like he hunts in his own yard.
This guy's
like,
a loser.
And the problem with Lashley is he's too disciplined. He's too nice. He's too disciplined. He's military. Yeah. He's all like, I know what you people think about my professional wrestling career. But you have to realize
of my lower left torso.
You have to realize that I'm a former Army Ranger. And he's a trained, legitimate fighter. And yeah, everyone discounts him because he was in the WWE, but the dude knows how to fight. You don't be a champion Army Ranger Greco-Roman wrestler by not knowing how to fight. So he knows what he's
and
doing.
And also the other thing is like, I remember when his girlfriend got like fired from WWE, he actually
Crystal.
Left. Yeah. He left WWE because of that. Like, he threw it all away just because his girlfriend... Like, that's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying... To be honest with you, I don't know if that was, like, a super wise decision because it's like, if you still have a contract with WWE...
You know, Vince would take him back in a heartbeat,
Jerry Lawler did the same thing.
But you know the reason...
The cat got fired.
The reason is, though, just because your girlfriend gets fired. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
That's a little reckless.
I'm just saying, you know.
That's reckless.
But in one end, you can admire it for, like, being like, wow, that just shows you what type of guy he is.
Yeah.
But you know what? Bobby Lashley was not a money draw.
No, he wasn't. That guy lacked charisma. Yeah.
Because he could have been packaged better.
Lesnar was a draw. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To a point.
And
like,
actually,
a hated draw.
Actually,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, actually, we saw Lesnar at a house show.
Monster draw.
And I have to say, like, when we did see him, I was like, holy shit. That guy is big. Like,
dude was throwing around
He will beat you up. You know?
He was like, throwing around Big Show around like he's a... Like he's a
like
little boy.
Like he can throw away anything as if it was like a fly or something.
But he's
or
not
like
as,
a,
dude.
Like
I still loved.
He's not as big now. Though.
I don't care what anyone thinks. I love that match. That final match with him and Goldberg. They were both teabag. They both sandbagged each other so badly. It was the ugliest match.
It was.
They were.
No one wants to sell anything.
No one's selling anything. The crowd is hating them all. They were like booing everything.
That's what professional wrestling is all about.
That was great. And then, you know, the problem is you can't watch it anymore because all the versions of it on DVD are edited.
Basically nothing.
They've taken away all the booing, or they've taken away a lot of the booing. They've
censored it.
Exactly. But that live feed was beautiful.
That's why watching wrestling live is something. You know what I mean? Because you know WWE is going to censor it somehow later on.
Yeah.
So when something weird happens, because they even block out signs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They block out the turnbuckles.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Come on. Do some forward thinking then. If you know you're going to ever change your identity, don't have it on there. Just have the generic black turnbuckles like they did on Thunder.
At least they don't have like Stacker 2 or something dead center.
Chris Benoit presents.
Sponsored
by Chris Benoit. It's bad enough that, you know, they've taken away everything. There's no more... Chris Benoit, his name with no link appears on title histories. That's it.
I know.
And then if anything else, they'll be like, Christian Edge and others in this.
It's like, and yet everyone can use the Crippler Crossface now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's just one of those things. But yet, like, I think Brock Lesnar will draw money for UFC.
Because he will.
It's like because people like that want to see them get their ass whooped. Even people with Budweiser will be like, I'll sponsor you if he gets his ass whooped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. That's making money.
He's a higher level.
He's the ultimate heel now.
It's like because when Tyson and what's the other
Holyfield,
the British dude?
Oh, Lennox Lewis.
Remember because they had a big
Tyson,
fight before
Tyson was the heel.
They were talking
he was
shit.
The ultimate heel.
And that got people
I remember that.
Got people to pay to see that. So that's how you promote a fight, like a real fight. You know?
I'm going to eat your children and all that stuff.
I'm going to fuck you till you love me. Look at that, oh, Mike.
Wait, who said that?
Tyson?
Tyson said that to
Lewis.
See the one that bit the ear?
Yeah. Bit the ear of Evander Holyfield.
What a nut.
Yeah, Lennox Lewis was, I think that was the last one.
How can you bite someone's ear off?
He couldn't beat him. It was just frustration. And everyone knows it. He would never beat Holyfield.
And Holyfield was not even in his prime.
No, Holyfield was well beyond his prime.
Holyfield's still fighting now. Isn't he?
Yeah, because he needs some money. That guy's broke. He's a dumbass.
They can't just learn to save
money. You know, I've driven past his house. The road in front of his house used to be called Evander Holyfield Parkway. Not anymore. Now it's just Martin Luther King Jr. Highway. I'm not kidding.
That sucks that they can actually they can take it back.
Because he has no money. He can't pay for it. He had to sell his gigantic mansion.
Was he paying for the name of the street?
I couldn't put a toll on that.
It's kind of lame. Okay. put a toll on his street. No one would drive down that. It wouldn't make any money.
Ironically, it was a shortcut to get to this area that I used to go to frequently.
Well, maybe he might make a dime a day.
He does like all sorts of like TV spots and radio spots in Atlanta now because he needs anything he can get.
I guess we're gonna end on talking about Holyfield,
loser.
Well, guys, that's been this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Comment, subscribe on iTunes. We're everywhere now. WordPress.curlstudio. No, CarolynJoeShow.com.
Blogger.
All right. See y'all later. My name is Joe.
Internets.
Goodbye.